Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
I'm very grateful for to the church also for accepting for them to invite me. Praise God. You know, there's a way they can say they invite somebody. They say, that man, no, not this church. Amen. You do me a favor, you'll be laughing from time to time. My anointing works best when you're laughing. No, seriously. Some people, it works well when they are serious. But me, you do me more favor if you are laughing or smiling like this. Amen. So that's your own part of the deal. So if it doesn't go well, I know it's because you are not smiling well enough. Amen. And I know this is a free church. I like the spirit here. I've met the pastor. He's a wonderful person. Not saying this just to hype him, but he's a wonderful person. He's a simple and very real person. I like people who say good morning and you don't have to check whether it is actually morning. You know, I've met a lot of pastors and even Christians. They say, we'll see tomorrow. And by relating with them for a while, you know that what they mean is anytime after today. But if it says tomorrow, it means tomorrow, as in tomorrow. You know, some Christians say 4 o'clock, you have to confirm, is it a.m. or p.m.? But if it says 4, it means the next 4. It doesn't mean... Amen. So, please put your hands together for Pastor Murphy. Amen. As well for Pastor Ngozi. Put your hands together for her. All right. Though, I'll prefer if you invite me on the 3rd Sunday of the month. I'm aware of what happens here on the 3rd Sunday. See, I would love to be here. Don't tell my church members. I'd love to be here on the 3rd Sunday of the month because of what I know happens there. But what excuse will I give to my church members for being away on Sunday? But if you invite me, I will say it's the work of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the power therein. As we go through your word today, we ask that you enlighten us and that you empower us. We want to live here changed and transformed. We want to live here with a fire burning inside of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I've read the brief that was sent to me many, many times. For today alone, I think I must have read like 2-3 times just to get a correct grasp of what the conference is about, the convention. And as I came yesterday, I saw that the man of God had turned the thing to pieces. I told God, Lord, please, the man of God has spoken. Give something to the boy of God to say to. So that it doesn't look like I'm not. I know one day God will call me too, but in the meantime, you manage this. Now, my message today is based on the concept of colonialism. As I prayed towards this program, this word has been coming to my mind, colonialism or colonization, as you may choose to call it. Unfortunately, our understanding of colonialism or colonization is a perverted one for obvious reasons. We understand that when they colonize a place, it is for the purpose of exploiting that place, using them for the benefit of the other country. But in the beginning, it was not so. In God's dictionary, when you colonize a place, it's supposed to be that you benefit that place you are colonizing. That place should be a better place. In fact, if there's anybody who will lose from colonizing, it should be the person that is colonizing. So when heaven colonizes the earth, it should be that the resources of heaven is what is used to finance what is happening on earth, not that you are extracting from earth to heaven. So from the beginning, God intended the earth to be a colony of the heaven. That is why Jesus said in that prayer, Matthew 6 and verse 10, he said, after this manner, pray ye, from verse 9, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, the earth is supposed to be a replica of heaven. It's supposed to be a replica of heaven. It should not be hard for people to describe heaven. We should just say, look at how it is here. This is going to be a better version of it. That is why I have a problem with people who say should not wear gold. This is my understanding of it. If the earth is supposed to be a colony of heaven, And we know that there, the streets are paved with gold, the purest of gold. Why should it be a big deal if I wear an impure one? You understand what I'm trying to say? So, it makes sense to me that if the old tabernacle was designed, God gave specific instruction to Moses to design it with gold. And the Bible calls us in the New Testament that we are the tabernacle of God. It doesn't make sense to me why the old one should be beautiful and the new one shouldn't be beautiful. I may be wrong, but that's just my understanding of it. That the earth is supposed to be the colony of heaven. It should be. It should be. In fact, we as human beings, the Bible says He made us in His likeness, and it's after His likeness and what? Is that what? In His image. That is in image. In image we should look like God. We should. We have eyes. That's why the Bible says the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro. We have ears. The Bible says the ears of the Lord are not deaf. He said His hands are not shut. So we know God has hands. He has eyes. He has legs. Because this is the replica of God. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, if you're asking for the Father, you have seen Me. You have no need of seeing the Father again. That should be our case too. People should not need to say, how does God look like? You just say, this is God. He said, as we are on earth, so as He is in heaven, so are we here on earth. We are a representative of heaven. So God designed the earth to be a colony of the heaven, And Eden was a prototype of how the old earth was supposed to be. In Eden, you notice that there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no crime, no sin. The lion and the lamb, they live together, and everything is alright. That is how God intended the whole earth to be. And Adam was God's point man to get the job done. You know, in colonization, the king doesn't leave the place. He sends somebody who will go and impose that government there. God will not leave heaven to come and do it here. He will send people. That is why He put Adam there. The earth was designed, again, let me say, to be a colony of the earth. And in fact, in the time to come, it's still going to be a perfect colony of the earth. You notice the Bible says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Has it crossed your mind that we will have to come back to the new earth and show exactly how it's supposed to be? Has it crossed your mind? So, Adam was God's point man. Do you mind if I get some water, please? Thank you. But unfortunately, Adam fell, and so the colonial master Adam became colonized himself. The devil was on the earth before. Thank you. I hope it's not a sin to drink water while preaching here. This water can make one sleep. So Adam was sent to do that job, colonize the earth. Unfortunately, we know what happened. He failed, and he became colonized himself. So God had to do something else. He sent the last Adam, Jesus, to recolonize or reclaim the earth. He was to set up the government of heaven on earth, and which He did. He did that. And that is why you notice that Jesus appointed 12 disciples, not 11, not 13, not 10. Because in the Jewish system, 12 is the number of a government. So they understood clearly what Jesus came to do. He wasn't mistaken about it. They knew the moment He chose 12 disciples, they knew that what He's trying to say is that I've come to establish a new government. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah concerning Him 9 and verse 6, He said the government shall be upon His shoulder. This He did successfully. Then He was supposed to hand the government over to the natives in the land and then return. In colonial times, that is called independence. You know, when they send a colonial master there, they will teach you their ways, their culture, give you their language, give you their clothing and everything. And then when that is reasonably established, the colonial master is supposed to return, and then they will continue running the government themselves. That's exactly what Jesus came to do. He set up the government and left. And He has left it in our charge for us to spread and advance that government. So, the government is no longer is work to do now. It is in our hands. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. We are the body. The government is not on the head. It's on the shoulder. So, the government is our responsibility now. No longer his. It's our responsibility. And that is why he said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. So the ball is now in our court. We are God's point man or God's point man to advance his kingdom here on earth. We are God's point man to advance his kingdom here on earth. You notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Paul said we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. That is very important because an ambassador represents the government he is from, not the one he is present in. It's very important. And in fact, it's very important for us to know that indeed we are ambassadors. Because I see Christians, we know we have been too long on this earth, we forget many things. An ambassador worries less about the exchange rate of the American ambassador to Nigeria, for instance. He worries less about, in fact, he's less concerned, to be truthful, about the exchange rate of Naira to dollars, you know. He's less concerned. In fact, he's less concerned if your country goes broke. He's less concerned if you don't have light. I mean, everything doesn't concern him. Reason being that his economy is not from there, he's sponsored from where he comes from. So he's living here in Nigeria, but his house will have 24 hours light. Even if our president doesn't have 24 hours light, he will have constant supply of water. The only thing he will not be able to get is what is not available in the US. So bother yourself less about the economy of this world. Here, as long as economy in heaven is doing well, you are secured. You are secured. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the exchange rate of the dollar as far as the ambassador of US is concerned. When they give him $1 with any amount, if you like, make it 1,000 to $1. When he brings the $1, we change it to Naira. In fact, it seems so to the man as though the higher the Naira, I mean the poorer it is now against the dollar, it seems as though it's even better for him. Because when they sell $1, what used to be exchanged for 100 Naira before, now it's exchanging for 200 Naira. Praise God. I'm trying to say we are ambassadors. Let that mentality get into us. That we are ambassadors. So God is counting on you and me to effect his kingdom here. We are God's choice appointment here. If you need to talk to the American president in Nigeria, there's one person to go to. He's the ambassador. He represents his government here. And so that's what we do too. We represent. God is counting on you and me to effect his kingdom. First of all, in our lives, then our families, our communities, our societies, our vocations and professions, and every sphere of life. God is counting on us. We are the ones who will implement the policies of heaven here on earth. Obama does not need to come to Nigeria. He has somebody who is representing him ably and capably. He has somebody. So God does not need to. I remember one thing the late Archbishop Benson also said. When they were going to have international witchcraft meeting in his town. He said to God, God, stay in heaven, I'll handle this. And truly, it's scriptural because the Bible says in Psalm 115 verse 16, he said, the heavens, they belong to God, and the earth has he given to the sons of men. You have a right to say in your family, God, stay in heaven, I'll handle what is in my family. And no demon can do any otherwise. One man. Single-handedly push that meeting away from Nigeria just because it's in the city. Just because he doesn't like it. God doesn't need to come from heaven. We are here. We are here to get the job done. We are. And we need to start exercising that power, that authority in our lives, first of all. Our families, our communities, our societies, our vocation, our professions, and every sphere of life. Every sphere of life. There is a heavenly pattern for everything of life. There is an heavenly pattern for everything. God wants that pattern to be replicated in every sphere of life. and we are his only hope of getting that job done, there is an heavenly pattern. If it is business you are doing, there's a way it is done in heaven. If it is ministry, there is a way it is done in heaven. There is an heavenly pattern for everything. If it is clothing you are doing, there is an heavenly pattern for it. God told Moses, Exodus 25 verse 40, he says, see to it that you build the tabernacle according to the pattern that was shown to thee on the mount. There is a pattern for everything. Everything that you can do. In science, there is a pattern for science in heaven. There is. Whatever sphere of life that there is at all, relationship, marriage, business, whatever aspect of life at all, there is a pattern for it. And God is counting on you and I to effect that pattern. Yes, Christ is the head and we are the body. The head knows what to do and how best to do it, but without the body, the job can't be done. You know, Pastor said yesterday that God can be limited, and that is true. The psalmist said, you limited the Holy One of Israel. God can be limited. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, but we are his body. If your head decides that I want to go to Abapa now, let's say New Heaven now, your head decides, and your leg says, I'm not going. You know, the head cannot jump and say, I will go there. You know, it's impossible. So the head is counting on his body to do the job. Jesus being the head of the church, he knows what to do. He knows how to do it. But he's counting on us to execute that pattern in heaven. He's counting on us. And so the aim of my message today is one, to awaken us to the tasks and responsibilities in our hands. We are God's workmanship. We are God's business partner in expanding his kingdom here. We are. I want to awaken our mindset. I want us to live here with the impression and knowledge that God is counting on me to get this thing done. You know, many times we are thinking, God, come and do this thing. God, do this thing. God is like, no, you do it. When the angel appeared to Gideon, Gideon said, where is God? What about the God we've heard? The man said, you mighty man of valor. Go, in this thy might. You have it inside of you. God is counting on you to get the job done. So one, to awaken us to the task and responsibility in our hands. Two, to equip us for that task. To equip us for that task. You see, if your life, your family, your society, your vocation or profession is not a resemblance of the heavenly pattern yet, the fault is no other person's but yours. It's yours. If your life is not showing the way things should be, if your business is not going the way the Bible prescribes business to be, if your marriage is not going the way it should be, nobody's at fault. You see, one thing I dissuade Christians from doing, we are fond of that, is that the Bible says in Haggai, I think chapter 1 from verse 4 and 5, it says you have sown much and you have reaped little, you have done this, but I mean it shows extensively that things have not gone the way it should go. In verse 5 he said, consider your ways. It's an anomaly for a Christian, things are not going the way it should go. You now say, well, it's the devil that's on my case. The devil is on everybody's case. It's not an excuse. You troubleshoot yourself first. And when you do that, you discover that you are the fault. The devil is not as powerful over us as many people make the devil. Every small thing they say is the devil, is the devil. The devil is not as powerful as even Christians make him to pray. In fact, some of our prayers, they exaggerate the power of the devil. I'm sure the devil will be thinking, so you mean I can do this? I did not know I could do it, but now that you have said it, maybe I should even try it. No, you are at fault. You are. So now what is our part to play in the furtherance of the kingdom on earth, or kingdom of heaven on earth? It's our job, like I've said, and I want us to awake to that responsibility and task. It is our job to make, we are the colonial master present here now. We are the one who is supposed to impose the government of heaven here on the earth, in all spheres. And to do that, we have three things that we must do. I will share them, and then I will expand them, then we pray. One, we must do prayer. It starts with prayer. He has said that we start with prayer. Many times Christians try to go ahead of prayer. Meanwhile, prayer should go ahead of what we do. Prayer should go ahead of us. Then two, we will preach the gospel. Preaching. Prayer, preaching, and three, we will practice it. Let me expand it. One, we start with prayer. The starting point has got to be prayer. Our preaching and practice of the kingdom will not be effective except with the backdrop of quality prayer. You see, prayer must precede revival. If we are going to see things evolve, we are going to see the emergence of heaven on earth, we have got to put adequate time in prayer. We have got to sow the seeds of prayer. Labor in the place of prayer. You see, we see gospel spread in Africa today. I was watching a documentary on how the gospel entered Africa. And I read of a group in Germany that prayed 100 years non-stop for the gospel to enter into Africa before those missionaries came. So you see what is happening today. Africa is spreading here, gospel all over. All those people that came, in fact, the missionaries that came did not even demonstrate power, you know. They did not demonstrate power, but the gospel was effective. What was happening was that 100 years of prayer is working. If you want the kingdom of God to spread, we've got to put clock in adequate time in prayer. In prayer. In prayer. Don't go ahead of your prayer, pray. The Yorubas have a saying that if you want to step on cold land, you pour cold water in front. It works everywhere. If you want peace, so it's with prayer. You know, in Greek, you don't go and just sow the seeds. You first of all plow and till the land and make it conducive for the seed. Otherwise, no matter how good the seed is, it will not bring forth much. In fact, it might not even grow at all. So it is in the place of prayer that we till the ground and break up the fallow ground, as the Bible says. And then we can now sow the seed of the gospel. So it must be that we start with prayer. It must be. Quality prayer must be clogged in. Colonies are established by power. Remember, I'm speaking with the backdrop and the mentality of colonization. Colonies are established by power. The kingdom of this world as it is now is in the hands of the devil. And if we are going to impose the kingdom of God on that of this world, it's going to be by prayer power. As it is now, this kingdom is operated by the devil. It's glaring to us. Talk about any sphere of life, you discover that the system of the devil is already in place. If we are going to impose the system of the kingdom of heaven on it, we can't just say, okay, you go, and then we put this thing. It's going to be by power. When the colonial masters came to this country, it was by power. They forced it on us. So, you see us, even though our temperature does not support a man wearing tie, we still wear it. They impose it on us. So we have got to impose the kingdom of heaven on earth. In the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. It's not going to happen just like that. The devil is not just going to surrender to us just because we say, okay, we've come with a new set of government. No, it's got to be in the place of prayer. We have got to pray. That is why Jesus said in that prayer, Matthew 6, from verse 9 to 10, he said, after this manner, pray ye, thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God will come in the place of prayer. He said, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because by default, what is done on earth is not the will of God. By default. What happens on the surface of the earth as we speak now, by default, is that of the devil. It's just natural. It's just that of the devil. And so there is need to impose the kingdom of God on what we have here. So it is with prayer that we seize authority over the sphere of influence. We seize authority over it. Whether it's your job, whether it's your business, your vocation, your profession, your family, there are powers that be in that place already. But for you to impose the kingdom of God upon that sphere of life, you are going to put clock in prayer. We should learn from how the evil ones, so to say, do their things. Remember that a man was going to plot against Mordecai, and in fact the Jewish race. The Bible says, read your Bible very well, he spent 1 year to hatch that plan. He will go and consult for one complete year before he just appeared before the king and he gave the plan to the king, and the thing happened just like that without the queen, king questioning it. What happened there is that he has, first of all, in the realm of the spirit, has taken charge over the king. The Bible says they gave him a convenient day with which he must go and talk to the king. And he went there that day, he spoke to the king, and the king could not refuse. He could not refuse. And so for Esther to counter that plan, so Esther couldn't just have gone into the presence of the king like that. The Bible says she said, first of all, that there must be prayer and fasting offered for 3 days. She offered the prayers for 3 days and then went. And so that was reversed. What she did there was that because Mordecai told her that you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. You've got to impose this kingdom on that of Haman. And that was what she did too. And so that's how we are going to do ours too. We are going to spend sufficient time in the place of prayer. And I believe that's what this convention is about, is supposed to stir in us. In your family, you should pray. Thy kingdom come in your family. You are God's point man in your family. I did a series in church, I think about 2 years ago, about you and your pastor. What the responsibility of the pastor is to you and what your responsibility is to your pastor. But then, in the midst of that, we said something. That I'm your pastor in the church. When you get home, you extend that message to your family, because I will not have the opportunity to preach that gospel to your family. Likewise, in your place of work, I preach to you in the church. You are the one that will go to your place of work and preach it, because I don't have the opportunity to talk to your colleagues and your customers. You are the one that will do that. You are the one that will do it. You see, we exaggerate, but we limit the work of the gospel. We think that the pastor and the ministers are the ones who are supposed to preach the gospel. That is right, in a sense, but it doesn't stop with them. They start it, you continue it. Because in a football match, for instance, the coach is supposed to coach the players to go and play. Who wins the match for the team? The coach or the people? Talk to me. So they are the ones who will play. The coach, no matter how good he is restricted. He cannot enter into the place. So it is our job to go and take the gospel to our different spheres of influence. It's our job. And we start in the place of prayer. The Bible says in Matthew 12, I think verse 29, it said that you cannot go into the house of a strong man and take his goods except you bind the strong man. So in the place of prayer, you go. It is you who will do the binding in your family, in your business, in your career. You see things going the way it's not supposed to go. You are the ones who will use prayer to force it to comply to the heavenly standard. You are the one. You are the one. And I say this to the indictment of Christians. Christians oftentimes try to shy away from what is our responsibility. You get to a place, for instance, Christians will say, and I'll get to that later, that politics is a dirty game. And so we leave politics and we leave it in the hands of more dirty people. And we stay hoping that it will change. It will not change. It will not change. And we are the ones that God will use to change it. We have got to be there. We have got to be praying and make sure that things don't go wrong. That things comply to the heavenly standard. So, also in the place of prayer, that's where we download the will and the pattern of God for our sphere of influence. It's in the place of prayer that we know that this is how this thing is supposed to be. And then we impose it on what we see on ground. You see, one thing I like about God's mirror is this, and in fact, when you pray generally, God gives you an impression of what you are doing, how it's supposed to be. When we look at the normal mirror, we see ourselves the way we are. But when we look at God's mirror, we see ourselves the way we should. So that when we turn our face from that mirror, we impose how we should be on how we presently are. When we go to God in the place of prayer, God begins to show you things and the pattern how he wants it to be. That's what happened to Moses. Moses went to the mount, and in the mount God showed him how the tabernacle is supposed to look like. And he came down and imposed it upon his sphere of influence. So when we start by prayer, our job is to pray the kingdom of God down. We have done enough of prayer requests. And you notice that in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that thy kingdom come, that will be done, precedes our daily bread. We should pray more for the kingdom of God to come than just meet my need. I mean, we have become too heavily conscious that we forget that when thy kingdom come and the will of God is done on earth, we will have more than enough than daily bread. We will. Once the American ambassador can write to America and that they can supply the things that the embassy needs, inside what the embassy needs is what we take care of the ambassador. So, if we pray more for the kingdom to come and that will be done, we will pray less of give us our daily bread. In fact, if the daily bread will be, we will have enough bread, not just daily bread. Let us focus our prayers on bringing the kingdom of heaven down on earth. Impose it on your family, impose it on your finance, or on your job, your profession, your vocation. Then we can do the second one, which is preaching. To preach. We start by praying, we move on to preaching. To preach, as we know, is to proclaim, to announce, to declare. And that is one another way by which we can further the gospel, the kingdom here on earth. To preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to declare it, to announce it. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. The commandment is not to full-time preachers like Pastor Murphy or myself. It's to every disciple, everybody. I think it's in your Bible too. And so that's the way it's in my Bible. So it speaks to you too. Preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. The preaching of the kingdom is not the job of the pastors alone. It is the job of every believer. It is. It's your job to introduce the gospel to everybody within your sphere of influence. It is your job. It is your job. It's not something we should leave in the hands of the pastor alone. You see, I was discussing with some pastor friends. I said I have a little problem. A problem that was bothering me. In that I happen to be a full-time pastor, the bulk of the people who come to meet me on a daily basis are already born again. I think you know. They are already born again. I mean, most of people. So hardly do I even get a chance to meet core unreached people at all. Hardly. I have to go extra mile. And in fact, the moment you mention that they're a full-time pastor, they just shut up. They don't want to relate to you. So it becomes something very difficult for me to do. However, we have in the church people who are in the world, in the systems, who can take that gospel in disguise and be their pastor. So the job is, my job is to start it on Sunday, and then you continue from Monday to Saturday, I come again on Sunday. It's the church is a training ground. When you come like this, it's a training ground. This is not this, this is the sermon, but the sermon should continue from here. I hope you understand what I mean. That the preaching should not end with the service. That's what I'm saying. In fact, the preaching should start right after the service. We should take the word and go and preach the gospel to everybody. So you are God's, you are the pastor in your family. You are the only way by which God will reach the members of your family. You are the only way by which God will reach your friends, your colleagues, your associates, your business partners, everybody that you have one level of influence over. You are the way God is going to reach out to them. You are. So it is your duty to preach the gospel to them. It is your duty. It is your duty. I find something interesting that Christians, when we become born again, we sort of say become so churchy that we are not relevant to the world again. That is so unlike what Christ intended it to be. Luke chapter 5, I think if you read from verse 27 down, Jesus preached to Levi, or Matthew, as you well know him to be. And the Bible says Matthew went and conducted a big feast for all fellow tax collectors. And that was an opportunity for Jesus to preach to his tax collectors. That is how the pattern is supposed to be. God doesn't want to remove you. He just wants to use you as the point man there. He told the madman of Gadara, have you healed? And he said, go and preach to your people. Go and tell them what you have seen, what you have heard. So you in the music world, you are God's point man to preach the gospel to the likes of Two-Face and I don't have anything against it, but everybody there. Since they will not come to the church, well, the Bible says you should go and preach the gospel to them. Go. We wait in the church. Lord, bring the people. Lord, bring the people. Jesus said, go into the world and preach. Go into the world and preach. Whatever your work, you are the pastor in disguise in that industry. Likewise, in your family, you are the primary way by which others in your family will hear the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 10, that how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe? From verse 14. How shall they believe on whom they have not heard? How shall they hear except the preacher be sent? How shall they hear except a preacher is sent? So you are the preacher. He said, are now beautiful upon the mountain at the feet of them who bring good tidings. You are the person who is going to preach the gospel to your neighbor, not your pastor. You are the one who is going to preach the gospel to your colleagues in the office. Your pastor cannot reach there. You are God's point man in that place. And you need to start seeing yourself as such. I tell people that, you know, I tell them that God will hold me accountable for not preaching the gospel to you. And then somehow they are happy that it's my responsibility. So, and I extend it further. God will hold you accountable for your family who you don't preach to, your colleagues, your friends, and everybody's eyes begin to turn. I say, yes. That is the truth. God will hold you accountable for the people within your sphere of influence that you refuse to preach to. So, we are to use everything short of crime and sin to preach the gospel. Everything we can do. Any way we can do it. Whatever format we can, we must see to it that we preach the gospel. We not only pray the kingdom of God or heaven to come upon the earth, it is our preaching that we spread the word about the gospel. The Bible says the Lord gave the word, I think Psalm 68 and verse 13. He said, great was the multitude of people that published it. It's our duty to publish the kingdom. It is our duty to preach the kingdom. It's our duty. And we must take responsibility for that. Wherever you are, God has set you to be. I like something, a scripture he sent to me, that prayer request, I think, Acts chapter 17. He said in the New International Version that God has set us all in our different places. And so it is true that God has put you and I as God's point man to preach the gospel in that your area of influence. We should do everything short of crime and sin to see that we advance that kingdom by way of preaching it. I remember once when we were in school, there was one trick I did that time. I happened to know to play a little game, PS2 then. So I had this my neighbors, they wouldn't go to church, they wouldn't do anything. So what I did was that I used to be very busy. I would leave from because I was into business, doing ministry and doing schooling at the same time too. It was also, I would take like an hour, 2 hours from work. I'll come back home. They will be at home. They'll be playing game. I will volunteer to join them in playing the game. And as we are playing, I'll be telling them about Christ. And I'll be preaching to them. I found out that after a while, they became more open to it. Just because I am a part of them. And after a while, they all came to church, all of them, one by one, one by one. In fact, one time I was made the house fellowship leader, and all of them just became, I just knew that if nobody comes to house fellowship, these people, they will come. So, it's our duty. In your family, you are the one who will extend the kingdom of God to your father that is not born again. You are the one who will extend it to your mother. Don't say because you are saved and you are home and dry here. No. The more people you even have, the better for you. The more, the better. The more, the better. So when we preach the gospel, we get more disciples, and then by that, it makes the job easier because we develop a critical mass that way. Yes, we do. Imagine we vote in a real born-again senator we vote him into power, and then he's there. In 4 years, he disciples 2 or 3. One thing is sure, even if they are going to do any law against Christianity, those three or four people will stand for us. That's what we do. When we make more disciples, that becomes an advantage for us. Then two is that we release words into the atmosphere, therefore forcing it to conform to the kingdom. When we preach the gospel, we preach to convince people and to convert them. But not only that, we preach to conform the atmosphere to the kingdom. You see, that is why we must take, I didn't used to like the idea of morning cry. Somebody will wake up in the morning, 5 a.m. and start, I feel that sometimes it can be disturbance. But one day I was just ruminating over it and I thought of this thing, that even if nobody hears the word this person is preaching the kingdom, the gospel in the atmosphere. And one way or the other, that words, people die, but words don't die. And words are very powerful. One day, someday, soon, that word will start working on people. Words are powerful. That is why you should not get discouraged because you preach the gospel to somebody and the person does not convert. Don't get discouraged. The word will not die. The word will keep haunting that person forever. Forever. The word will keep ringing. I had this story of a missionary. If I can remember two stories now, I remember the story of a missionary who went to a village and preached all his life and died in that village. Nobody got converted. And at his death, the king said, what do we do to honor this man now? And they said, okay, what we'll do is that what he has been telling us, we'll now accept it. And that was how everybody in that environment became born again. It's a real life story. It's a real life story. It happens like that. You preach to somebody, you think a person though, it's your job to preach. It's the job of the Holy Ghost to convert that person. Do your own job and let God do his own job. Do your job. When you preach to somebody, you'll be surprised. The person will remind you, know you said this to me one day. He can tell you that next 10 years. Do your job. Preach the gospel. You say, Pastor, I'm shy. I cannot preach the gospel. It's a lie. You can preach the gospel in so many ways. Too many ways that you don't even have to open your mouth sometimes. Too many ways. Just too many ways. There's the track. You can even sponsor, for instance, the radio broadcast on the air. See, one thing I like about that radio broadcast and TV broadcast is that, see, when an unbeliever just turns on the radio or TV and he sees one pastor preaching and says, this is where I've come again, tunes to another station, and then a pastor is one way or the other, he will hear something. He will hear something. And if that continues long enough, it will compel the atmosphere. There's power. Words don't die. It's people who die. The words go into the atmosphere. That is why all these churches springing up and here and there, people say, well, we have too many churches. I beg to differ on that. There may be a lot of fakes, so to say, but we don't have enough. We don't have enough. In fact, If you hear the statistics of Christians people who have not been reached, did you know that there are places on the surface of the earth that have heard of Coca-Cola and have not heard of Jesus? Oh, you didn't know? I was listening to a conference on evangelism a few months ago, and they said there are places where Coca-Cola has been heard of, but Jesus has not been heard. So, don't be mistaken to think that everybody is born again or everybody has heard the gospel. Not everybody. So, we must preach the gospel. When we start in the place of prayer, we pray, thy kingdom come. And then two, we take it further, we preach the kingdom. That's how we spread the kingdom. Then three, practice. By practice, I mean we have to physically implement and demonstrate heaven on earth. Some people will hear our preaching, but most people will believe by our results. Yeah. Somebody says, nobody argues with results. Yes. I heard Pastor Kpojemade saying one time he was in a conference, and it was, I think, a business conference, and the man that was preaching, his English was unpolished, his teeth was, scattered, he was talking, after they were just mocking and laughing, but here's the result. He has money to show for what he's saying. And after a while, he said, you see why you will come and listen to me? Because even though you don't like my face, you have to hear what I'm saying. Because you can see results, tangibly. You can see results. Somebody jokingly said that if Brigade were to come in a crusade ground now and say, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, and Jesus made me who I am. If you want to be born again, come out. He said even, he said even the pastor that organized the crusade will come out. And that may look like a joke, but it's true. It is true. Nobody argues with results. Nobody argues with results. So, not only do we pray that kingdom come, not only do we preach and proclaim it, we have to practice, practically demonstrate it for them to see. We have to physically implement and demonstrate heaven on earth. We have to participate in the things of this world and show them the heavenly pattern. Enough of this gospel of we withdraw from it. No, Jesus said, go ye into the world. We'll go there and show them that this is how to do it. You see, the way to convince a man who is using hoe and cutlass to do farming that tractor is better is not much of preaching it to him. You get a plot of land beside him, do your own with the tractor, let him see that you can do this job faster, easier and better with this. He will automatically want to know how you are doing it. So it is our job to practically demonstrate this kingdom to them. It is. It is our job. That, and by that way, we are going to expand and further the gospel and the kingdom here on earth. Mark 16 verse 15. He said, go ye into all the world. And that's a very interesting scripture because it doesn't say go into the earth or does not say go into all the nations as Matthew 28 puts it. It said go into all the world. And I checked the root word that was translated world in that verse of scripture. Is the Greek word cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, which means social systems. So invariably, Jesus wasn't saying that go into different countries of the world and preach the gospel. He's saying go into every social system that there is and preach the gospel there. He's saying that go into the world of medicine and be the light there. Just go there. Be a doctor there and show them how medicine should be practiced. Going into media, I've heard Christians say that, well, this industry, let me use, for instance, the modeling industry, that you technically have to be a prostitute to be a good model. Yeah, people say it. We know that that's what is happening in the world. But until we have Christians who will be there and do modeling and do not compromise and still get good offers, good jobs, that is why, I mean, if somebody is somebody has to trade a body to get a good job, and somebody who doesn't do that gets a better result, you'll be forced automatically to want to do that way. So Jesus is here saying, go into all the social systems and show them how it is done in heaven. Well, to go into politics, stop saying it's a dirty game. Go there. There's nothing that is dirty. The Bible says in Romans 14, I think verse 14, that there's nothing in itself that is unclean. Nothing. Nothing. Going into politics. Going into medicine. Everything. And be the light there. Participate. Practice the principles of the kingdom there. And gain results. And through that result, convince them that there is a superior kingdom. That there is a superior kingdom. That should be our job. So having prayed, haven't preached, go there and participate. So while we are waiting for the world to come to the church, Jesus intends for us to infiltrate the world. He said, go, not wait for them to come. Go into all the world, he says. We can't just stay outside and be criticizing. We've got to go and change the game. We are the world. The Bible says in Romans, I think 8 and verse 19, it said the earnest desire of the creature is waiting for our manifestation. The world is waiting for us to come and manifest. It's waiting for us. Your industry is waiting for you. Your family, all the spheres where you have influence is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. We need people in the music industry. We've heard that they sing all kinds of rubbish. And who is going to correct it? Nobody is going to correct it. We are the ones who will correct it. You see, and I said this, and listen to me carefully. If we need Christians who will not only sing worship songs, No, don't think I'm an unbeliever. I love worship songs. I love worship songs. Don't get me wrong. But we need Christians who will sing good songs. I mean, that the unbeliever can relate with and still know that this is God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our idea of a gospel song is the one that has Jesus in one corner, God in one corner, heaven and church, Holy Spirit somewhere in the lyrics. We need people, see, the book of Songs of Solomon was put in the Bible for one reason, one of many reasons. That you may know that in real life things, God can be demonstrated. It is a love poem between Solomon and one of his wives. But inside of it, we see the love of God. So we need Christians who will arise from the church and in the world sing a good song that may not necessarily have Jesus or God or Holy Spirit somewhere in it, but we know that it's a song that is bettered by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the book of Esther has 10 chapters but no single word called God in the book of Esther? Did you know? That book is put in the Bible for us to know that not only do we preach the gospel, we demonstrate it. In the book of Esther, we see God demonstrated not so much of preaching of it. There's no mention of the word God there, but we know it's a godly book. I think you know. So also God determines, expects us to be. We should have Christians in the music, I'm just using the music industry. We should have Christians who will sing good songs that is not necessarily quote and unquote our worship. We should sing worship. We need ones who will sing. But we need those who will sing and run unbelievers out of that business. So that the ones who will sing, when he sees that he's not selling, he'll be forced to see that, oh boy, how are you doing it? Then you cannot tell him, I better this song in a place of prayer. We need such people. The emergence, that's what it's about. Emergence. We need people who will rise up and represent us in every sphere, politics, everywhere. Who will stand there and practice the principles of the kingdom and get real results, tangible results. Results that cannot be denied. And the scripture of Zechariah 8 verse 23 will be fulfilled in that it says that 10 men will grab the skirt of him that is a Jew and say, we will come and worship because we have heard that God is with you. It has to come to that. That's such a point. We can't just stay outside and criticize it. We've got to go and change the game. We are salt and light. As light, we can do our job from afar. A torchlight can stay here and point light there. But salt cannot do that. Salt cannot stay outside the pot and say, in the name of Jesus, be salted. In the name of Jesus, be salted. In the name of Jesus. All that salt needs to do is just enter the pot and it will be salted. We've got to go and enter the world and salt the place. We've got to do that. Enough of too much congregation. You see, I tell people that any pastor, any church, and don't say I said so anyway. And I'm sure you don't do that here. I have a church beside me. They start the service in my house. Beside my house. They start the service about the time I go to, you know, I'm the pastor, I go to the church much, much earlier before my members come. By the time I come back, I leave late. You know, I'm the last person to leave. They are still in the church. By 3 p.m., I hear them say, if you are worshiping with us for the first time. Then they meet on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They get the principle, the essence of the church. They get it wrong. It's a training ground. You train them, you push them out to go and do the job. What's the essence of a football team that keep training and don't play the ball? What's the essence? No. Training. This is what we have come for this weekend. To be impacted by the word, impacted by principles, impacted by the Spirit of God. But when we leave here, we start demonstrating it. The sermon should start after the service. It should. It should. And so we have got to participate to do the job. Light can do its work from afar, but salt, we have got to participate. Some people will hear our preaching, but more people will hear by our practice. They will hear by our practice. Most people will hear by practice. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 5 and verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. That you won't need to preach to them. When they see the works, they will say, ah, this is your God. We have to come and serve him. That way, we will expand and further the gospel. When we by kingdom principles get superior results, we make the kingdom almost irresistible to unbelievers. We do that. I'm not talking about Christians who are there, who are just surviving. We need Christians who will be in spheres of life and be really thriving. That you be in business, that people who are stealing and doing all manner of crooked things can still not make the kind of profit that you are making. Then you can tell them, drop this thing, it's not working, and they will believe you. But when you are not making sufficient profits, when you are the ones who even go to beg from them, it will be difficult. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse 26 that the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. When the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, he can tell his neighbor that you have to be righteous. You have to. And he will agree. When we take kingdom principles and put them in place and see superior results, we compel others to join the kingdom. We compel them. When you are in a class and we see that as much as you love God, you come top in your class. You can preach the gospel to them. You can. They will say, with all that you are doing, and you can still be first class. When we were in school then, all kind of things you see. In fact, I saw the president of one fellowship, mighty fellowship. It was a year, my senior. And then after, when we got to final year, I saw him taking the same courses. I knew he had an extra year. It was a shame. And in fact, it's a shame on the kingdom, because how do we preach to the person? The person says, is that not what so and person did and could not pass? No. But when we go there and command results, we'll get the job done. We'll get the job done. We have to be practitioners of what we preach. We have to be practitioners of what we preach. So what is our role, as I've said, in the kingdom? Our role to play in expansion and in furtherance of the kingdom of God here on earth. One is to pray that thy kingdom come. It's our job in the place of prayer to bring heaven down on earth. It's our job. It won't just answer, and I do that a lot since the very day I stepped into Enugu. I've walked almost every tangible street in this Enugu, major street, up and down, commanding the land of Enugu to submit to me. And it has no choice. It has no choice. It has no choice. In the place of prayer, you seize authority over, you see, the Bible says of the Prince of Persia, have you heard of it? That is a principality that is in charge by the devil to govern that environment. So if you are going to make headway in Persia, you've got to, in the place of prayer, that's what Daniel was doing. In the place of prayer, submerge that kingdom so that you will impose the kingdom of heaven upon it. Whatever sphere of life also you are, in the media, there are people there in charge already. They are, so to say, giants in the land. But in the place of prayer, you seize authority over them and then impose it upon them. Then too, it's our job to proclaim it, to preach the gospel. We preach it. We declare it everywhere. Whatever we do, our lifestyle, by every conversation, it must end with the kingdom. Did you notice how Jesus used to preach? Jesus turned every conversation to a sermon. You talk with a woman about fetching water, and before we knew what was happening, you're already telling her that on this mountain the people preach your father's worship, but a time is coming where you won't need to come to this mountain again. He said, but the father will seek those who worship him in truth and in spirit. Then we ask Jesus, how should somebody behave all this? And we use every parable of Jesus. Did you notice? It was tied around the kingdom. That should be our way of preaching the gospel too. Every discussion, when we are talking sports, we ship in the gospel inside of it. We are talking entertainment, everything we talk, we ship in the gospel. It's our way of making sure that the kingdom of God infiltrates the kingdom of this earth. And three, we have to practice it. We must physically demonstrate to them. Some people, we pray it, it will not touch them. We preach it, it will not touch them. But when they see results, they will come. We have to come to such a point. In fact, as I was preparing for this message, I believe I have a word for somebody. I don't know who it is. That God said, he will bless you so much. Financially, in what you are doing, you will know that this finance is not for you because it's far more than what you need. But he said the essence is going to do that so that when you speak to people in that your sphere of business, that God did this. This is the way of God. They will listen to you not because you can preach so well, but because you have results to show for it. And I pray that when that begins to happen for you, you will not forget the reason. You will not. You will not. Let's rise up. Let's pray. The kingdom of God must come upon the surface of the earth. And we are God's colonial master to get the job done. Amen. We are. We are God's colonial master to get the job done. To get the job done. I'd like us to lift up our voice and say, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word of air today. Lord, I worship you.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.